Maybe a report about plans to contribute to various ministries, both evangelistic and benevolent. And the total on that was something over $300,000 that we would be in total, that we would be contributing to various ministries. And we've already begun that process. But in some of those cases, we want to actually have folks go to those places and present that contribution. And one of those will be tomorrow. We will be, a group of us will go to Sunset. There's actually room. If we need to take the van, we can take the van. There's room for five or six more if you're interested going. Now, here's the deal. We're going to leave about 6:10 a.m. That's the first 6 o'clock of the day. That's not the second. That's the first. I grew up on a farm, and my dad used to talk about the town boys that didn't know there were 2 6 o'clocks. And but so we're going to leave at about 6:10. So you need to get there a little bit before that, so you can get settled before we take off. We want to blast off at 6:10. But if you're interested in going, please let me know, and we'll make that arrangement so that you can go with us. And then in the afternoon, our plan is to go to Lubbock Children's Home, since we're in Lubbock, to go to Sunset. That we'll do a tour of the Lubbock Children's Home. If you've never been there, it could be an opportunity for you to see that home, and we'll make a contribution to them. Now, coming up, two weekends in January, the 11th, we want to get a group to go to Cherokee Home for Children and do a tour. The picture you see there are the folks that went last time we went. And so we want to give others an opportunity. I know some of you may want to go again if you went again, and you're welcome to, as long as there's room with others that may have not gone before that want to go this time. And so January the 11th, if you're interested in let me know that if you're interested in going then. And then Foster's Home for Children in Stephenville, similarly, the week after that, Saturday after that, January the 18th, we plan to go there. Now, here's another update that's just kind of stunning to me. And that is, last week we announced that some of you were here on a Wednesday night when Billy Kumar from Kakinada, India, came and talked about the work that's being done and how much God has blessed their efforts so that the church is growing there, so much so that oftentimes people are having to sit outside. They cannot get in the church building. And so they're wanting to expand their church building. And so we committed to give them $15,000 to help with that expansion. But some more has been given. And so now our plan, we're sitting at $65,000 that has been given toward that. But the reason there's a plus right there, that is, if you still want to add to that amount, you're welcome to do that. But we will be making that available to him sometime before the end of this month. But anyway, I think that's exciting. And I just wanted to share that update with you about things that are coming up. This morning, I want us to really spend some time and kind of put the brakes on and spend an extended time with the Lord's Supper. And I invite you to open your Bibles to Colossians chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. We want to read this passage in just a moment, but before we do, I want to just point out something about this passage, the context of it. And that is, the context of this goes back to the first three verses of chapter 3 of Colossians. And that is that Paul says there, if, or you could translate that since, if then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, And your life is hidden with Christ in God. Do you know what he's saying? He's speaking of baptism. He's speaking of the new life that a person begins in Christ. You die to yourself. Notice that in verse 3 there. For you have died. Your old self in which you lived for yourself. You have died. And your life now is hidden. I think that's a wonderful way of describing what new life in Christ looks like. Your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then notice verses 9 and 10, the last part of verse 9. You have put on, notice the language of dressing yourself. You've put on, you're wearing. You put on this new self. When you're baptized, you put on a new kind of life. In fact, I would go so far as to say it's a new creation, to borrow the language from Galatians and 2 Corinthians. It's a new creation. You're a new creation in Christ. You put on this new self, which is being, notice, present tense, ongoing process. Being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. God is bringing about the possibility that you can become what God always wanted human beings to be and do. That's what happens when you come into Christ. You call off the rebellion against God. And God now begins to work in you a new creation. That is as marvelous, as amazing as the creation you read about in Genesis 1. You put on this new self, being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. That's the context. That's the context for this passage, that in Christ Jesus, God has inaugurated a new humanity, a new creation. We are giving the world now a taste of what is to come when Christ comes again. And so I want to invite you to read with me this passage, verses 12 through 15 of Colossians chapter 3. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. Bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other, as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body. And be thankful. I think it's a great passage as you think about that. And I want us to really stop and think about these words as we anticipate eating the bread and drinking the cup. Notice, first of all, what he says. There's that dressing language again. Put on. Here's what you wear. Dress for success as a follower of Christ. There are certain things that you wear. Put on then as God's chosen ones. Now, I think it's important to emphasize here because some people misapprehend what that's saying. It's not that God chose individuals. This person, I chose this person, but not these others. God chose to have a people with certain characteristics. God's choosing is plural. The you here is plural, y'all. Put on then y'all as God's chosen ones, plural. God chose that there would be a people like this. And notice that God does this choosing in love to have a holy people. And that God's holy people have something to put on. you're going to be the holy people of God, you need to dress a certain way. There are certain characteristics. There's a Christian character that you wear if you are among God's holy people. And notice he says, put on the as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, and humility. God's holy people wear an other-centered wardrobe. What's best for others, not what's best for me. And so this other-centered wardrobe, a key feature of that is forgiveness, that you would forgive one another. You have a complaint, you forgive one another. And that forgiven people are then called to be forgivers. Now stop for a moment. When we gather around this table, when we eat this bread, when we drink this cup, we celebrate the fact that we are forgiven people. But there is another aspect to that. Having been forgiven, are we then in turn forgiving of others of their wrongs? Has God forgiven us? Was it expensive for God to forgive us? It cost the cross. God knows it can be expensive emotionally. It can be a challenge to forgive others. But God is not asking of us anything he does not ask of himself. God forgave us, and now he wants us to be people who likewise forgive. We are called to be forgivers. And we are to wear love. And I think it's interesting to notice that word beloved, holy and beloved. We are loved by God, and then we are called to love others by this God. And we are God's chosen ones who are called to Christ's peace and unity. Notice the idea of chosen ones early in that passage, and then at the very end of that passage, in which you are called, notice, called to be one body. What's the proper response to what God has done? Well, it's to wear the right wardrobe, to wear certain characteristics, but it's also thankfulness. And that's really what we do as we come to this table this morning. One of the words in the New Testament, in the Greek terminology associated with the Lord's Supper, is Eucharistia. Eucharistia is translated thanks. It comes from the accounts of the institution of the Lord's Supper, where it says, and he gave thanks for the bread. He gave thanks for the cup. That is Eucharistia. You may have heard the word that's transliterated over into religious terminology, Eucharist. That is that comes from that. It means to giving thanks for the body and the blood of Christ. Notice this last phrase in verse 15 of chapter 3 of Colossians. Be thankful. Be thankful for that you are God's chosen one. Be thankful that he now is equipping you as the new humanity. Be thankful that you can live a life in which you are able and willing and led by God to forgive others and to love others and to live in unity and harmony. That's what this whole world needs, isn't it? Some people committed to these sorts of things. And this morning, as we gather around the table and eat the bread and drink the cup, we are recommitting ourselves to this life that we are called to in Jesus Christ. I ask our brothers to come forward, and we'll now eat the bread and then drink the cup. Let's pray together. Our Father, you have shown great kindness and love and compassion toward us, that you are patient with us. And Father, we are grateful that you have forgiven us in Christ Jesus. We are grateful for the willingness of Christ to march to the cross willingly, giving himself, his body, on the cross for us. We pray that you would help us as we remember the cross, that we will take up his cross and live a self-giving life in this world. Help us this week, Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, to live for the good of others and not simply to live for our own good. Help us to put aside self and put you, our Father, and other human beings ahead of ourselves. We are grateful for this bread. We thank you. We thank you for this bread and the remembrance of the body of Christ that was given for us. We pray this in Christ's name. May we all say,
Amen.
Let's pray together. Father, we know that lives get damaged in various ways and for various reasons, and relationships are damaged. We know that our own relationship with you was damaged by our rebellion against you and sin against you. And we are thankful that you came looking for us in Jesus Christ and that you have forgiven us in him. Help us now, having been forgiven, to be ready to forgive others. We are thankful for the costly gift of forgiveness, the gift of the shed blood of Jesus. We pray that you would help each one of us to think about those who we need to forgive as we drink this cup. And help us to follow through with whatever purpose we make to forgive others. Help us to continue to forgive, even as you continue to forgive us. We pray these things in Christ's name. May we all say,
Amen. Amen.
We have now an opportunity to give back to God who has given so much to us. And as God is a joyful, ready giver, so let us do the same. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for all the good things we know in life, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. We thank you for food. We thank you for clothing. We thank you for shelter. We thank you for so many other things that you do to bless our lives. For the comforts of this life that you afford us, we thank you. And now we are grateful that you have shared with us those things that allow us to participate in doing good in this world. We pray your blessings on this collection, and that you will help us to do right and good things with those your resources. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. The Lord's invitation is ongoing. It's 24/7. What we do on the Lord's Day assembly is we just remind each other of that ongoing call of Christ to take up his cross. If you have yet to commit yourself to living the self-giving ways of Jesus by taking up his cross, confessing that Jesus is the Son of God, repenting of your sins, being baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, there's no better time than this hour to do that. We looked at earlier in Colossians chapter 3. If you've been raised with Christ, there's a sense in which we already are seated with Christ at the right hand of God, as we are raised up from the waters of baptism. In verses 9 and 10, you've put on this new self. You have a new life to live. You're being renewed in the knowledge after the image of the Creator. You're being made into what God always intended human beings to be. You've called off the rebellion against God. If you're ready to do that, if you've never done that before, no better time than this hour to make that known.